ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, November 1st, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins as always. Tomorrow, Dwayne, the CAN-PL final, the second leg in Calgary, Cavalry versus Forge for the Canadian Shield.
Exactly, the Canadian Shield. I'm still not used to that. And if you want to hear our thoughts on the Canadian Shield, which is the name of the North Star Shield, I think calling it.
North Star Shield, which there's a North Star Bell in Montreal for the Impact, but there's no relation between the two.
Yes, it's they're playing for the Canadian Premier League Championship or the Hyundai Northwest Region Salesperson of the Year Trophy. Not in French, though. But that's a different topic for a different day. It should be a fun weekend in Canadian soccer. It's been a fun couple weeks, actually, now a month or so of soccer for fans of the game in this country. Not everyone's a fan of every team involved, but there's been some for everyone, really. It's been a good month.
Pretty much for everyone except Vancouver.
Yeah, well, they're Canadian national team fans, so they got that.
Yeah, no. So tomorrow, of course, in Calgary, Cavalry will face Forge FC for the second leg of the Canadian final. Forge has a 1-0 lead heading into the match, Dwayne. And the big talking point coming off of last week was the Tristan Borges red card and his suspension, which was supposed to be good for tomorrow's game. Canada Soccer has rescinded his red card. So Tristan Borges will be available to play tomorrow and maybe get that golden boot. Here's what Canada Soccer's disciplinary committee had to say about the incident. Canada Soccer's disciplinary committee found that Tristan Borges did not use excessive force or brutality against his opponent and therefore did not meet the threshold of a violent conduct offense. In accordance with this description, Canada Soccer's disciplinary committee finds that the match referee made an error in his disciplinary decision. Therefore, the claim for wrongful dismissal has been upheld, and Tristan Borges will not serve any sanction in respect of this send-off.
Yeah, and for our American listeners that may not be very familiar with this, what happened was that there was a bit of coming together, and it appeared that Borges, the Forge player, kind of kicked out a little bit. The closest, it's not exactly a comparison, but it kind of reminded me a bit of the Beckham Simeone issue in the 98 World Cup, where Beckham did the little kick up at Simeone's man parts there and got red carded for it. It was kind of a soft call that probably, under the circumstance, you could have turned a blind eye. And I think that's essentially what's happening here, is that you have the CPL deciding to err on the side of the player, because this is a player that is among the young stars of this league, and they want him showcased in their biggest day of the year, their championship final, the final game of that. And had this been, you know, in the middle of May, they probably just would have served the suspension and it would have just moved on from that. But it being a championship game, I think they've made the decision to let him play, so to speak, and here we are.
I think the important aspect here is that the disciplinary committee has decided that the referee made an error in his decision. So, Canada Soccer, not necessarily throwing the referee under the bus, but not protecting him either. So, that's interesting as well. So, we do have a precedent now that if a call in the Canadian Premier League is a bit harsh, or maybe the committee doesn't agree with the red card or a long decision, now there is actually precedent of overturn in the Canadian Premier League with Canada Soccer's disciplinary committee. But you know, interestingly enough, Dwayne, there was another red card in this game. Waterman for Forge, of course, in the box. He plays for Calgary, sorry. For Cavalry, he stopped a Forge shot with his hand in the box. Red card. This one will be upheld, and Waterman will not play the second leg tomorrow.
Yeah, to go back on your first point there, it is interesting that they chose to use the language that the referee made a mistake rather than just say we've rescinded it. I mean, they didn't have to use that terminology, so that is a bit of a strange choice in my mind, and I don't imagine the referees are too happy about it. But at the same time, you know, get stronger skin, I think, sometimes. I think referees are overprotected at times, and I respect them a great deal, but I think they're overprotected sometimes. The Waterman play, again, for those that didn't see it, it was really harsh, but by the letter of the law, correct. He slid, so he was on the floor, and his arm was outstanding, and it hit his arm while he was in the box, and it sort of directly took a scoring chance away, so they really didn't have much choice. But it was just one of those unfortunate kind of, the rule says this, so we have to do it kind of calls. Like, you know, those pinky offside calls that VAR keeps turning over, kind of something like that.
That's true. And we're going to see the result of that play tomorrow, and Waterman misses as well the Canadian Premier League final, which leaves us with the game itself. Forge, 1-0 loss. 1-0 advantage heading into Calgary. Cavalry with the 1-0 loss the week before. Who has the advantage heading into the second leg, in your opinion? Is one goal enough for Forge to propel them to a title? Or does Cavalry, with their home field advantage, we all know that Spruce Meadows is very different at Tim Hortons Field. The field themselves, the pitch, the size, the length of the grass, the temperature also tomorrow. There's going to be a lot of difference from one Saturday to the other, from one city to the other. So when you look at tomorrow, Dwayne, who has the advantage, Forge or Cavalry?
Look, the classic answer here is that when it's a 1-0 home win in the first leg, it's kind of a wash in a lot of ways. It's the same situation we ran in the Voyageurs Cup final, right? Where Montreal had the 1-0 win at home heading into this, and it turned out to be an advantage for Montreal in that game because they could, you know, play for the low scoring draw, and that they did. I think I generally lean that when there's one of the two teams that are favorites, that if you're the underdog, you need to get the win at home in a more dramatic fashion. Otherwise, I put the advantage on the home team in the second leg because they have an extra 30 minutes to get the job done, right? Like they will host the extra time if it goes that far, which is a little more of an advantage. But you can also make the argument, of course, that, well, you know, Hamilton's up a goal. So, yeah. And the other thing, too, for those that did not see the game, Hamilton literally hit the crossbar three times. There was a penalty save, I believe. There was a lot going on. There was. And there was a lot of missed opportunities in this game. We called it the Borges hat trick. He missed the penalty, got the red card, and scored a goal. So there you go. It was a strange game in that way. Calgary really has been the dominant team in Campiel all year. They didn't look great in the first leg for long stretches, but Hamilton just could not get the goals that they needed. So, you know, this is a very long-winded way of me saying that I think Cavalry has the advantage heading into this. And yeah, that's I'm sticking with that. Calgary's got the advantage.
And Calgary would be a very worthy winner, and also with Forge. I think the fact that both those two teams are in the final is a good representation of the 2019 season in the Canadian Premier League. When we look back at year one of the Canadian Premier League, Dwayne, there's successful moment, there's achievements, and there's also a few deceptions. I know we haven't really talked about this, but I trust your head right now.
Yeah.
What would be your most important moment this season in the Canadian Premier League? Success, achievement, call it whatever you like. And your most disappointing one, a failure, an oversight. What would be the highest of the high so far in year one? And the lowest of the low as well.
In terms of the high point, I mean, obviously the first game, just to kick the damn thing off and being there, and after all those years of waiting for it and talking about it and wishing it would happen faster, to see it happen on that day was really wonderful to see. I liked the way they played that first game too, in the sense that there wasn't a lot of pomp and circumstances. They did a little to recognize that it was the first game, but it wasn't. You know, God bless our American friends, but if this was the first game in an American league, there would have been a 17-minute firework display, a military flyover.
I was going to say flyover. I was going to say like NASA space shuttle doing a flyover, something special, you know.
Unicorns. It we just put a couple flags out, which, you know, I like that. It, my sensibilities are more along those lines, but that was a great moment. But to put, you know, one other, if I can mention, I think Cavalry beating Vancouver, really, it's not a CPL game, but in the Canadian Championship, for them to do that really was a marker, or even to extend that to the York result against Montreal, where that first leg, where they came within seconds of beating an MLS team. We almost had two MLS teams go down, two KMBL teams. To me, that was a real showing that, you know, of course, we're not as good. Our top-end talent isn't there, but we can compete. We're a professional team. That you can't argue against it after one of them beats an MLS team. This is a professional league. And people up to this were questioning that. There's a lot of people that called it, like, semi-pro or a tin pot league and things like that. And, you know, Canadians are apt to tell Poppy Center. They're apt to cut our head off. We try and rise up too high. But it really was a great moment to have that ability to hold that up and go, shut up. They beat the Whitecaps. I know the Whitecaps are crap this year, but still, it's an MLS team that had 10 times the budget.
And the infrastructure and a lot more things than just money made a big difference. Now, that was the high point in your mind, but there's a couple low points. Which one stands out for you for this year, year one?
It's not a specific moment, but the low point for me was the middle of the season and the scheduling issues that they had with that. That logistically is the biggest thing they need to figure out for the second year. These teams, I don't think they factored the travel in well enough, which is a strange thing to ignore in a country this size, because obviously it's going to be a huge issue. And I think if they understood the travel concerns from a monetary way, they have to pay for it. But from like a physical demand sort of way, I'm not sure they understood it, because they had teams flying all over the place playing like four games in 10 days and stuff.
Like Halifax, the examples of Halifax going to play Pacific, coming back to Halifax, going to play Hamilton, I think, and then going back. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and these aren't easy flights either. I mean, this league is not well enough that they have charters yet. So and if you're flying from Halifax to Victoria, that's two exchanges probably.
There's no direct flight. There's no direct flight from Hamilton to anywhere, so...
Yeah, it's well. I mean, I suspect they flew into Pearson and just took a bus to Hamilton. But
I think so too. York's the same too, and Halifax, the Halifax airport.
I'm sure that all those guys in the KMPL know Pearson Airport like the back of their hand after this year, because they would have been making every exchange through there all year.
So you're playing versus Calgary from Victoria, but you have to go to Toronto first, and then you go from Toronto. Exaggerating, but
much of how it would have worked. But yeah, the quality of play really dropped in the summer, and I think that was a large part of it.
That is valid. It's a good point. Now, of course, people kind of know where I'm going to go with my low point, and that's fine. I'm going to start with my high point. You mentioned Cavalry in the Canadian Championship. I think Forge FC in the CONCACAF League did show the continent that this league is not a joke. We exist, and already there's a team beating established teams in the region, in CONCACAF, traveling, getting results down there in Central America. In the Caribbeans. For me, that's a successful first season in the continent region. Rarely do you actually see a new league exist, and then that new league in this first year getting a result in a continental competition. So that's my high point to balance yours. And my low point is the lack of French content and lack of French writing on the trophy. But the lack of respect for the French language from the Canadian Premier League, I think it's fair to say, is my low point this year. One third of this beautiful country, Parle Français, and they've been forgotten like so many times before.
Yeah, look, we talked about this at length on Two Solitudes this week, but to summarize it quickly, we both are in agreement that it's inexcusable that they somehow managed to go through how many layers of approval they did. To create this trophy and then to only make it unilingual English is just, the mind boggles. This is a bilingual country. And even if you think it's PC or whatever, I'm not going to have that argument with you, but just understand from a logistics marketing standpoint how silly it is to ignore one third of your fan base. And that's what you're doing.
It's more than that, though, at this point. And, you know, to establish this, to illustrate the point, I'm going to change a few names so you can imagine it. If you do something in Miami, okay, and it's only in English, guess what's going to happen? A lot of people are going to complain. Think it's the same thing. You would never have that problem, and people would have the Spanish version available tomorrow morning or at the exact same time, example, if something was in Miami. If something was in France or in Europe, anywhere, it would start with French and English and Spanish without even asking questions. It would be those three languages. But for some reason, we're not important enough to be part of the thought process of being included in the Canadian Premier League. And that's where it hurts. It's not because you forget about us. It's because you don't think about us. It's because we're just a thought. We're an afterthought. Oh yeah, we forgot about those damn French Canadian speaking people. We should probably think about them. Oh, Kevin's going to complain again. Kevin's going to write another letter because we don't give content. I've heard all about this year. Yeah, I did. But you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to just stand here and agree to be forgotten. It's not that hard, and you're making a lot harder than it should be for yourselves, Canadian Premier League.
Yeah, I think some Canadians that dismiss this, these concerns, their only exposure to Quebec is probably, you know, a bachelor trip to Montreal 10 years ago or something. And, you know, you go to Montreal and you hang out mostly where Anglos hang out in Montreal, you're going to think, well, what's the problem here? Everyone speaks English. Well, go a little deeper into the province, folks. And, you know, first off, that's a silly way to be dismissive. But again, beyond that, I'm just trying to keep this on a practical level. Forget the philosophical stuff. You're right on that. I'm not arguing with you, but forget that. Just practical level. Like, there are a large swath of Quebec that does not speak English, that understands English as well as we understand French, basically. Like, I can, you know, read a couple words and get by, but I sure as hell would not be able to interact in any meaningful way with the CAMPL if it was only in French. So think of it that way, right? And if you want to expand this thing across the country, you need to go into Quebec City, which is a very French area. You'd probably want to go into Acadia, into the French part of New Brunswick. You probably want to maybe even lean in a little bit to the French Manitobans out there a little bit. And obviously Ottawa, which is a very bilingual city as well. So why are you ignoring this? It just doesn't make any sense from a business standpoint. Forget the philosophical for a second. Just from a business standpoint, it's stupid. Like, it's dumb. What are you doing, folks? Shake your head and shake. The guy that runs this league was from Tim Hortons. Do you think they don't have French commercials? Of course they do.
And that's another thing, too. To capture the imagination of the province of Quebec is different than the rest of Canada. The Quebec province has its own star system, like their own culture, their own TV shows that have more ratings than the entire country together. Like the big TV shows in Quebec, 2 million people listens to it. CBC or the big CTV programming, the most popular in Canada, they get 1.5. A lot of people watch TV. A lot of people consume a lot of entertainment and sports in Quebec. You make that product available, guess what, OneSoccer? Soccer might be very popular if you manage it the right way. If you come into the province and cater to your public the way that they are reachable, you will double your numbers, Canadian Premier League, with just this province. But I guess you didn't do your research hard enough.
Yeah, well, beyond marketing to fans, you're marketing to potential owners. Like, you're going exactly. In blind now in a lot of places, right? Like, you might go into it and pretend, like, you know, Quebec City probably has a few very rich people hanging around, even ones we don't know about. They might not have a clue this league exists, because why would they ever be exposed to it? It just mind boggles. I just don't get it. Like, for how much more money would it have cost to, you know, the translation isn't going to be a big issue. They already have a French writer on staff. Just ask him. Make sure the grammar's okay. Another $50 maybe to engrave it? Come on, man. It just doesn't make any sense.
I'll be honest. I offered my services. No callback, you know? And that's fine. I don't care. Don't hire me. I'm not here for that. I offered because the service was needed, and that's what they need to understand. It feels like a soft launch for the Canadian Premier League after year one. I'm not going to lie. We'll see tomorrow, the Canadian Premier League final, second leg. But one third of your country not being catered to, And most of all, it's been a lot of mistakes in year one, too. There's been great stuff, but there's been a lot of mistake. And I hope there's a long debrief and a readjustment of priorities for 2020.
In the media day last Friday, I found the commissioner said something very interesting that I thought was quite insightful and gave me some hope that they are understanding that this is not a perfect launch, that they do need to address certain areas. And he said, you know, it was easy for us this year because everyone was cheering for us, is the term he used. Everyone wanted us to succeed. So people turn a blind eye to problems. And even further to that, if you point out a problem, you get shouted down because it's initial days and there's still a protective nature to the fans and to the folks associated with this that feel that any type of criticism is trying to tear it down. That's not the case. We're criticizing it in love. And you need to listen to that. And I think, again, the way the commissioner said that, you know, the second year is more important than the first because the first was just to just get this thing going. It was victory on April 27th when they kicked that ball. That was the victory. I think it was the 27th, around there anyway. Anything they did after that was pure gravy. The fact they had these two dominant teams, Cavalry and Forge, who finished quite a bit ahead of the rest of the league in the schedule. The fact that they had some emerging young stars, that the Golden Boot race was entirely Canadian, like in young Canadians, like the two leaders of the Golden Boot race, for those who don't know, are both like Olympic eligible Canadian internationals, right? That's something that's significant. All of this stuff is reaching and doing a good job in proving concept and what this league can do at its best, but it's not been perfect. And saying so does not make you a hater of the Canadian Premier League. It makes you a human with observational skills. And I hope and I think that the league understands that and they do want to make the second year better than the first. And they have to. They have to go with that mentality. And then when the second year is done, their third year has to be better than that too. It's kind of how MLS grew. You know, MLS tried to do that. Then they had a really big roadblock, like panic time in the turn of the century. Reset, figured it out again. As much as we make fun of MLS for changing things in the fly and making up rules as they go along and not being very transparent about it, and those are problems. But it's also a strength that the league was always flexible to change and to switch and to work and to look what was working for them. And the CanPL needs to take that mentality, if not that exact approach in terms of the, you know, Tam Gam rules and stuff like that. But they have to have the mentality of Major League Soccer that they have to be flexible. They have to be willing to constantly evolve and constantly look at things. This is not a 100-plus year tradition league where you are bound by tradition. You can change things, and they need to be able to be willing to do that, and hopefully they will be.
Yep, hopefully they will be. But until then, tomorrow, the year one wraps up with the second leg of the Canadian Premier League final. Live from Spruce Meadows, Cavalry FC will face Forge FC, 1-0 Forge on aggregate. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll just preview a little bit more of the weekend in soccer.
You can find the podcast.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at @SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Larimer, of course, joined by Dwayne Rollins, as always. Before we get started, looking at a few games that are going to happen in Europe this weekend, if you like the conversation Dwayne and I just had about Canadian Premier League and Canadian soccer, you can get half an hour at least a week of this conversation more in your life every week by going to the patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to 4 shows a month, one weekly, of the Two Solid Dudes Soccer Podcast, starting at $2 a month. Now we're back with Dwayne. Dwayne, a couple games this weekend that I'm really excited for, and who knew that it would be in Italy? Serie A is continuing, of course, and there's a few interesting games. The owner of the Montreal Impact is in Bologna right now. the owner of Bologna also, to attend one of the biggest game of the year for Bologna. Bologna versus Inter Milan. Bologna having a good, if not one of the best, beginning of the season in their history. Top 10 in Serie A right now. Playing Inter Milan. Bologna with a result could be really important for where Bologna is going to finish this season in Serie A.
Well, precisely. Obviously, Inter has had a very good season as well. They are still hanging in there. It has been, across Europe, it really has been a very tight race in all of the England's the least competitive in terms of at the top right now. And that's not something that we've seen for a while. It's usually the opposite, right? When, you know, there's a nice little battle royale in England around second, third, fourth, but, you know, Liverpool 6 points up right now. The rest of the leagues are actually very close. And so this game will matter a great deal for Inter and for those that wish to see a little change at the top of Serie A. Speaking of Serie A, if you want to have a head trip, look up Ronaldo's Halloween costume from yesterday. It's terrifying. Anyway,
was it dressed that?
Kind of a clown.
Ew.
But it was a costume where he was a clown that was wearing another clown, so it looked like he was riding the shoulders of a clown.
Weird.
It was strange, but anyway, it's just look for celebrity Halloween costumes. It's out there. You can see all them there.
Be careful if you click that link while working, because some of them might not be safe for work.
You know, one of them I'm pretty sure wasn't wearing pants. Yes, but yeah, you know, it is what it is. Halloween. It's interesting. What's the irony of Halloween is that you're supposed to be wearing costumes, but you actually half the people just don't wear clothes.
I mean, yeah, it's like, for some reason, nurses lose all the size of their shirts when it comes to Halloween. Like, oh, yeah, when I go to the hospital, nurses are not dressed like that.
No, they're not. They're in scrubs, not tight blouses, but that's fine. be yourself, people. You be you, people. Do whatever.
Don't listen to us.
I've lost my track. We're talking about Serie A and we're talking about hot nurses. It's not even, it's Friday, so there we go.
Yep, so Serie A, Bologna, Inter is an interesting one, but also Roma, Napoli. One of the titles could be decided there, but the other interesting game in Serie A for me, Torino, Juventus, the Torino Derby, Torino versus Juventus, will be a fascinating one too.
Great history that Torino. I don't know if people know much about that derby. I think a lot of our listeners would, but you know, if you're new to the sport, do yourself a favor and learn a little bit about Torino's history and the tragedy involved in there and you know how they at the time of the plane crash were the best team in the world. And you know, it's interesting to me, always has been, how you know that club, it can not ruin them but completely change them, and they've never been there as close. And then another club like United has a similar tragedy, and that actually propels them forward. It's just interesting how clubs react to stuff like that. And I'm not trying, it's interesting like in an intellectual level. I'm clearly not cheering for any of this to ever happen, but it's a good history there. And Torino's been pretty decent of late. You know, this is a solid team that not a lot of people outside of Italy really think about much, but for sure they'll want to get a result here. I don't think they have a great history against Juve, though. I mean, who does? But in Italy.
No one recent, that's for sure. But it's an interesting matchup. So that's three matchups in Italy that I look forward to. And there's one, of course, in Germany that I'm going to keep an eye on. Last week, we had Alphonso Davies make his Bundesliga start debut for Bayern Munich. 90 minutes played versus Union Berlin as a left back. He was touted as a great performance, good performance. No one was complaining about his performance, and I think that's a victory in itself. Kovac was happy. Now we're going to a game, Eintracht versus Bayern. Champions League is looming. There's one more round, I believe, before the end of the group stage, a couple of rounds before the end of the group stage. So Bayern does have a busy schedule over the last few weeks, next weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised, Dwayne, if Alphonso Davies starts again for Bayern on the road.
You know, he proved in his game against Union Berlin last week that he can be a reliable backup, and that's really what he had to do. And it's not about Davies's abilities to create. They all understood that he could do that, and he was always going to get some time here and there off the bench to try and have an impact late in the game. But for him to get regular starts, even in a backup role, so semi-regular starts, he needed to prove that he could be defensively responsible within their system. And he did that in that game. And it's one, you know, it's not a done deal or a finished product by any means, but certainly I suspect you will see him more in the league moving forward, particularly as we get into the early winter. And I can't believe we're talking about early winter right now. It depresses me a little.
And not even, what, in a month, the Bundesliga is going to be off for a month. So.
Yeah, well, we're getting into the crisp. Yeah,
in a month and a half. Yeah.
Time. Where'd this year go? Anyway. yeah, TFC's in the final. How'd that happen? What is happening? Anyway.
We old.
It's fun. But no, I think you'll see a lot of him in January when they're in the Champions League and the knockout stages. It's obviously for a club like Bayern Munich, who is, you know, in a battle royale for the league title, but I think is still in a transition year. Might even look at this as an opportunity to put even more focus on the Champions League than they do normally, because the league it's understood by Bayern fans that this is going to be a battle this year at the league level, because they have a younger transitioning team. So you know, that would be a way to certainly distract, is to have a big run there, and that will provide an opportunity for players like Davies to play in the league then. I also anticipate that Davies will probably feature in the Cups this year. He did not last year, which was a bit disappointing, but I think that he's proven that he could be a very useful piece to plug into the Cup competitions to allow them to have a fuller rotation.
I agree. And the last game I want to highlight before the end of this week on Soccer Today is Arsenal Wolves tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the Premier League. Why? Because if Wolves wins, I think it's bye-bye, Unai.
Yeah, it might be. It's been a very disappointing start to the season for both those clubs, really. But it's a big game. It's been a weird year for the teams that we thought would be better in the Premier League. I mean, a lot of us, I think, were solid on Leicester, but we didn't necessarily see them this good. I don't think anyone saw Chelsea doing as well as they did.
No one did, except Lampard, maybe.
Yeah, and I, you know, obviously we know about the two top two, but the Wolves, I think a lot of people, I know a lot of us included, had them battling perhaps even for fourth, and that hasn't worked out. Spurs was thought to be a lock for third. That's not working out. Arsenal, I think I thought they'd be further along. They're so inconsistent still. United is still 2 points off the drop.
Yeah, that's wow.
I know it's not going to happen, but allow a man to dream.
A boy can dream, okay? Let the boy dream.
Yeah. Oh, anyone who's new, if there's anyone new today, I am a City fan. I do not even pretend otherwise that I am entirely objective. I could be intellectual about it, but no, if they dropped, I would laugh and laugh. It'd be the greatest moment ever. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm a petty, petty man.
Like, just so you know, we've said this before on this show. Dwayne hates United so much that he plays with them on Football Manager just to see them get relegated.
Yeah. There's a great system you can do. Basically, you put five wingers on either side and nothing in the middle. You'll find that that's not a great defensive shape. I'll just say that.
There's a highway in the middle. Just people running towards the net, breakaways. That's hilarious.
I played a Football Manager game with United once doing that. The first thing I do when I play with United is I sell all of their players for like
nothing.
And I buy like bad youth players from like the League Two and pay like $10 million for this. So I bankrupt them too. Because the entire goal of this game, which is a fun way to play, pick whatever team you hate. This is actually kind of entertaining. And because you're going to get fired. Like eventually they're going to fire you in the game. But you want to make them so bad and so bankrupted that they can't pull themselves back off.
That even the three seasons after that you continue to play, they're still in the championship.
Because you basically ruined them so much because you saddled them with like $10 million contracts of of people that are like League Two caliber. It's fun.
That's hilarious. Kind of want to do that now. Kind of want to start to do that maybe in FIFA. Kind of get fired as a manager. That's fascinating. On that note, Dwayne and I will go to our soccer watching for the weekend. We'll be back Monday with Soccer Today. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at SoccerTodaySPN. And if you're watching this live on YouTube, make sure you click the subscribe button right underneath here. That really would help us. And also subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. We'll be back Monday at 11 a.m. to review this weekend and to talk about the beautiful game the way Dwayne and I like to do so. And go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Side Toot Sucker podcast. But until Monday, as always, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.